In the dimness, Helen didn't see the sharp black edge of the comma, which caught her directly below the knee and sent her falling forward. She landed heavily on her side on the dull white surface. Taking a quick, shallow breath, she looked over her shoulder. "This can't be happening. This isn't real," she thought. She could see what appeared to be some large panels of toppled words, bisected by jabbing lines of red. "Yesterday's edits. But this is crazy. It's not real." She glanced at the small red triangle of the insertion caret right below the jutting comma. "That's right. That's the last comma I inserted, where that idiot had a compound sentence with enough subordinates to fill a grammar book. Not that he'd ever seen a grammar book." She shook her head. "But this really can't be happening." Helen stood and rubbed her leg. Squinting, she thought she could make out a soft light source far away, but she couldn't see an actual light. She looked out to the horizon and saw a distant edge, with blackness beyond. In between were what appeared to be rows of billboards or large posters, some toppled and redlined, some upright. The characters were faint in that light, but she could make them out. "Words! I'm on a page! I'm on the fucking last page of that dork's novel I was editing! I am on a page!" She walked a distance forward. There were perpendicular gaps in the rows, places where the words she had deleted or replaced were flopped over, so that she could walk through to other rows, many of which had similar gaps. "Oh yeah, I remember now. This is the paragraph where he tried to do a Stephen King suspense thing, only it came out like Stephen Queen." She snorted a little after she stopped over two full sentences of fallen prose, under which she had scribbled, "This isn't breathing. Verbs! Use verbs!" She was still three-quarters of the way to the end of a row, and still couldn't see anything beyond, except for what looked like a velvety black curtain seeming to shimmer in the faint light. She slowed, neck jutting forward. When an intense white light flared from above, she almost fell over again. Above her, filling the now illumined sky with his colossal head, was her client, Roger. She heard a chair's leg loudly scraping, and Roger's head loomed even closer, almost blotting out the ceiling light. When he shifted the page over to the side of the desk, Helen fell hard against the head of a semicolon she'd inserted to break up a run-on sentence. She pushed against its oddly soft surface to rise back to her feet. "Roger, it's me, Helen. I'm here on the page. I'm here, right on the page in front of you. Roger!" Nothing. He couldn't hear her, couldn't see her. He leaned a little forward and sighed, unleashing a cloud of breakfast effluvia her way. "Ugh, garlic. Enough to kill a vampire. He probably didn't even brush last night." Helen leaned against the semicolon, staring up at the massive head. Roger frowned and picked up a pencil and underlined something several rows down. Helen couldn't see what he was doing. She moved the semicolon to the base of the capital J that began the nearest sentence. With effort, she climbed up on top of the character's crossbar to provide a clearer view. Ah, the problem. He was writing in a spot below where he'd hit several keyboard returns in a row, so besides the sentence rows, there was a river of white space between her and his pencil. She leaned out off the top of the letter and could make out what he was doing. He had crossed out a long note she had put in the margin and had written a word underneath. For Helen, it was upside down, so she had to think for a moment. B-I-T-C-H. He'd written bitch. "That's it. I can only take so much." She clambered off the letter and navigated down the rows as best she could. When she looked up, she could see that Roger was squinting over an edit toward the end of the page. "Huh. He probably doesn't get my note about point of view. Or could he actually be getting it and mulling it over?" She managed to work her way through the word maze all the way to the paper's edge, where Roger looked with a fixed stare. But again, this edge too showed only a glimmering velvet-like blackness, not the edge of a desk or Roger's shirt as she expected. She got down on her hands and knees and moved to the outer edge of the paper. Putting her hand out into space, she felt a cool, slightly damp air. She quickly withdrew her hand. "No way. It's just like nothing out there. I can't get off this page. What kind of hell is this?" She got up and jumped up and down, waving her arms at Roger. Roger didn't respond to her movement. He continued to gaze at the same spot on the page, lips twisted in a scowl. Then he lifted the page off his desk and tossed it into the recycling bin on the floor. Helen tumbled over and ended up sprawling against the upright words of Roger's protagonist, Belmont. She pushed up off the phrase, "Well, if it's a spanking you want," and stood. Something was different. She walked to the right side edge of the page and looked over. She was on top of a loose stack of unmarked pages. Helen could see from a couple of page footers that the stack was the rest of Roger's manuscript. "Oh, Roger, you are a tricky, tricky boy. So you really weren't going to tell me that there was more manuscript to edit?" She crawled down from the page she was standing on and moved to the one below. She sighed in satisfaction at the unblemished black and white landscape and then pulled the red pen from her pocket. "Nobody but me says when the editing's over,"